Amen. Genesis chapter 4. Mama, you better pray tonight. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Now thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now, this is where the saddest part is. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And may the Lord help me. I'd like to preach right here tonight on when Cain hates Abel. When Cain hates Abel. It's, I reckon, one of the most saddest stories in the Word of God concerning two brothers that have fallen out with each other. I don't know of anything that's more heartbreaking or the wrenching of feelings as it is when you see blood fighting blood. Amen. I remember, it's going to be a little different here tonight, and I've sought the Lord for it to be this way, and I trust you'll help us. I remember when I was just a younger boy, I accepted the call to preach. It wasn't too long after my accepting the call to preach, we received a call at the house that my cousin had gotten killed. And I went with my mother and father and some of the family that was left at the house, the ones that wasn't married. We went up to Tennessee. And while we were there, we got the tragic news of the entire story of what happened. My mama's sister married a wicked, vile man. He had took a .38 police special and shot and killed his 16-year-old daughter. It's horrible. It's despicable when you read of the crime that's in our country, when it's happening on their street corner, when it's happening in the house on the other block, but when it gets to happening in the house where you live, come on here, when brothers hate brothers, when sisters hate sisters, I noticed and I felt in great travail of prayer today, I sought the Lord hard about it. I said, God, I'm going to be totally opposite of what you're giving me than what they got on the plate this morning. And I checked back in with headquarters, and he said, preach it anyways. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that there ain't nothing no more despicable. There's nothing no more bad to look upon is when two brothers hate each other. The first history of sin that was noted in the Bible, it was the fall of Adam and Eve. But the first recorded sin of the entire family, it was when two brothers fell out with each other and they hated each other. Can you turn that toward me just a little bit, please? I want to preach this tonight. I've got a heavy burden. I may not get to preach tomorrow night, but I want to preach this here tonight. There is nothing in the world. I remember sitting in that house, my father sitting over from me. I remember him telling me, he said, it is impossible. It is impossible for a thief to break in this house and do the damage that has been done. I'll tell you how wicked and how vile the man was. He blamed the murder on his own son and sent his own son to prison. I want to tell you, sir, it's a cruel world out there when men walk the streets and they pull the trigger and they slay each other. But it is not as bad as when brother begins to slay brother. It's nowhere near as evil. It's nowhere near as diabolical as it is when brothers are killing brothers, when the church is at odds with each other. We shout together, but our love don't run deep. Help me while I preach. We run the aisle together, but we don't feed off each other's love anymore. Hear me well. Sin makes a man feel invincible. It isolates him from reality. Pray for me, Brother John. Gonna get real fun here after a while. You can shout, and hatred will lay in your heart while you're shouting. You can speak in tongues. You can run the aisles. You can even go as far, my brethren, as take this pulpit and hold a microphone and preach, and your heart have hatred and nobody know it. Oh, honey, pray. It's got a break in here tonight. I'm telling you, it's a serious subject. When Cain hates Abel, these are the first two brothers that has ever kissed the earth. It is the first family that has ever come on the face of the earth. But it's the first family that's carried the heaviest weight. And it is the sin of hatred. Leviticus said, I want to show you their Bible on it. I want to take my time. Leviticus said, chapter 19, and verse number 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not hate thy neighbor in thy heart. Oh, he didn't say show it. He said, but it was laying deep inside your heart. Help me while I preach. It was somewhere where nobody knew it was at. I'm telling you, ain't there just some little thing that gets under your craw when somebody's name is mentioned, somebody else's church is mentioned, another preacher's name's mentioned? I'm telling you, in this house, there's something the matter. You can dress it up, you can disguise it however you like, but hatred is going to come out of the closet. It's going to have a voice. It's going to have a character. It's going to have a body that it's going to demonstrate in. Worldliness is nowhere near the biggest problem we got as it is the hidden root of hatred. Hang on here. May not get too fast for you. Hatred is the most diabolical nature of hell. Why is hatred such a vile sin? It is the very nature of the devil himself. It is the very dethroning of his position. It was, you think it was just jealousy. Don't you understand, sir? Don't you understand, ma'am? Before jealousy ever took you over, hatred was right behind it. It was flirting with you. It began to mess with you. It began to feed you. And while you was busy trying to cover up one sin, you was bottle feeding hatred in the closet. And now it's become a giant and you don't know what to do with it. Stay there. Hatred has no problem with you shouting. It don't have no problem with you preaching. It don't have no problem with you running revivals. It don't have no problem with you preaching camp meetings. As long as you don't uproot it, it'll let you act religious. But you know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about all. Preacher, you can set me down if you like. I'm worried about all the shouting I've seen already in this meeting. And things that's bothering me. I grabbed my wife by the hand. I said, baby, if a man's to operate on another man's body, does he operate with dirty hands or does he operate with clean hands? I tell you, sir, if a man's to preach and deal in the souls of men, he must have clean hands. And when you have a son of a whore, when you got hatred, your hands are dirty. Your hands are filthy. Notice what that filth does. Everybody you doctrinate, everybody you touch, they become infected by that same hatred. Notice this. Proverbs said, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Hey, he that hideth hatred with lying lips and utter slander is a fool. You know you don't like him. You know if you had a half a chance, you'd ruin his ministry so yours would look better. Come on here. I'm wondering if God was to flash on these walls what some of the stuff that's been said about each other we shout with, we run with. I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Young girls, I understand how you feel. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I've watched it in our little cliques. This group of girls, they think that group of girls is better than that group of girls. It's so hatred. I'm telling you, if I ever feel like preaching, I'm a preaching on when Cain hates Abel. You can shout all you want, but I'm here to tell you, you can't hide it. It'll come out after youth rally. It'll come out after camp meeting. meeting. It'll come out at the revival. You must get rid of the hatred. Hatred is a beast without a rein. Hatred is a beast without blinders. Hatred is a beast that knows no mercy. It's the spirit, the Bible said, concerning a man that's jealous. He said, though you offer him many gifts, he'll not be appeased by it. Come on, talk back to me. I know it's a little tight right here, but I expected it to be. Because nobody take this personally, but it don't take a whole lot to shout over. It don't take a whole lot to walk away from youth rally and go right back into the same condition before you get to your house. That same devil go right back to that door and he starts knocking on it again. Are you hearing me? He starts pounding on it again. When you're laying in the bed, it'll remember some old bad deed. It'll remember some bad word, not of a curse word, of a wounded word. And then you'll start feeding on it. And then before you know it, Cain hates Abel. You know, my son of a whore. You sleep in the same house and hate each other. Where did it come from? You hearing me? I know you probably thought hard to preach something else. But where did it come from? When it gets down to the root, Cain, the reason you don't like Abel is because his spirit is more willing to be a Christ spirit. Help me. Help me. Help me, brother, preach. Why don't you go stand at that door for me, if you will. And I want you to knock when I tell you to knock. I've saw men. I've saw young girls. I've saw women. There's a woman right now. I know, and I could call her name, and a lot of people would probably know her. She's been here. She's not from this state, but she's been here. She's battling a bitter battle. She's battling a bitter feeling. I'm telling you, do you understand that book when it said, he that can hide hatred with lying lips and utter slander? Do you know, mister, you're a bigger fool than what we can realize when you can shake the hand of brethren who you just got finished slaying in your own mouth? Oh, God, help me. God, help us get a hold of it. God, help us to realize you can't deceive God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh, of the flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Elders, look at our children. Look at them. Right here. Look at them. You ever seen when little boys go to get in a fight? You ever seen the hatred that gets in their eyes? Stay right there. I mean, I've seen little boys. I've seen them when they got mad at each other. They got such a look. They got such a look that's uncontrollable. And you wonder, where'd they get that at? Where'd they get that spirit from? You know where I have to go back to? I have to resort back to when God told Eve, don't you touch it. But she felt like she could touch it and not suffer the consequences. Help me while I preach. You know why some of your children, they come to youth rally, they come to church, they come to camp meeting. Look at me, Roger. You listen to me well. You know why they come here and pray? It's because simply the holy things of God in your life has been diminished by the power of hatred. It's not of the preacher, but it's the God of heaven that's inside of the preacher that you don't like anymore. Ronald Reagan said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. He said it's an inheritance. It must be something that we keep, and we will not keep it unless it's fought for and defended from one generation unto the next. I want you to look at me, saint of God. But you know what I feel like? In a time of prayer, I laid down this morning about 3:45. I went in that living room. I wailed before God. I said, I know what you're talking about. I said, but it can't be just me preaching. I said, I've got to have the presence of the power of God. You know why? I've got to preach past your long hair. I got to preach past your clean face. I got to preach past what you ain't wearing, what you ain't doing no more. Mister, I got to preach that you're still a preacher, but you don't love the brethren. Hatred. He that hideth hatred with lying lips and utter slander is a fool. That's what the book said. You look around, that man that thinks, you say, preacher, you've lost your mind. Oh no, that world won't come in until they see a fire of freshness get a hold of us. You can't build a church on what your standard is. You got to build a foundation. It's built on the foundation of love. When a preacher ain't got love, he'll have meetings and little private sessions on what he don't like about the church down the street. Are you hearing me? God, give us a heart that'll be pricked in holiness, not just in our standard, but in our speech and in our conduct, that we become holy men and women of God. What are you going to do with what you was battling before you came to this meeting? You shouted, you ran, you spoke in tongues. But when you're at home next week and this crowd ain't here to cheer you, hatred comes back by the door and he goes to knocking. You're startled by it. Deep down inside, something says you don't need to open that door. You don't need to mess with it. You need to leave that alone. Now, preacher brethren, you can fall out with me. I don't believe that Cain all of a sudden just up and slew Abel. I wonder how many days they sat at daddy's table and across from each other while Cain was mused by the fire that was in Adam. Oh, come here. What do you say, preacher? I'm amused by it. I'm listening to daddy as he's telling ghost stories of how when we first got in the garden, how sweet it was, how the power fell. And you know, not just, you know, we fight in church. Come on here. We want to move of God. And sad to say, not every service we come to, we have have an earth-shaking move of the presence of God. But Adam looked at his boys. He said, every day I had a visit with the Creator. He came down every day and sat and talked to me and your mama. You remember one thing. You're going to be either hardened or softened by the love of God. You'll either be softened by this meeting and by the preaching of the gospel, or you'll walk out of this house with hatred a little bit taller, a little bit stronger, a little more shot of a higher, a little more bitter. They sat at the same table. They listened to the same stories. While one was affected to move to compassion, and said, I want to know more about him. The other one was moved to hatred. I'm losing you. Sister, brother, when you got the nature, I feel the Holy Ghost on me. It says, I'm just like my daddy. My daddy was a plain spoken man. I'm like my mama. She was a straightforward mouth woman. Stay with me. But then what you're telling me is if your daddy was like hell, you're happy to be like hell too. What bothered him? You listening to me, girls? Are you listening to me? That little thing that gets inside your heart. I know I'm preaching right. I'm not saying it to be mean or boastful. But we're shouting every meeting. And we're walking out of here and pastors having to deal with this slight bitterness of hatred. Come on, y'all are sisters. Y'all not to be fighting with each other like this. Your brothers, y'all ought not to be quarreling with each other like that. But when daddy said go to bed, I wonder how many times Cain, Brother Jerry, will you and Brother Kendall get a chair and set it right there and face each other? I'll let you be Abel. And I'll let you be Cain. But I wonder how many days Daddy and Mama sat at the table. And while Daddy told stories, I mean, I only want you to put that interest in it. About, I remember one time we had a visit from heaven. God came down and touched us. Me and your mama, we knew every day where God was going to meet us at. I don't want to fall out with you, and I don't want you to leave me. But God don't meet in your living room as often as you think He does. He's not going to choose your living room over the church. You said it, and I'm going to repeat it. You said it. I don't have to go to church and hear that preacher to be right. I don't have to go to that church and agree with what y'all believe in to be right. I don't have to go to that church and say amen to what he's preaching to make sure everything's right with me and God. You don't, do you? But when, what are you going to do with the scripture when the Bible said, forsake not to assemble yourselves together as the manner of some is, even as you see the day approaching? What do you mean, what day, preacher? I'm talking about this end time. There ought to be something spring up in you. I'm getting my walker and I'm going to church. I'm getting my shoes. I'm going to the house of God. If I don't stay in fellowship with the church and the preacher and the saints of God, I may wind wind up hating them. I may wind up falling out with them. God, give us another dip of the love of God. You know what happens? You get the feeling like, I really don't belong to that church. They don't none of them come to my house. They don't none of them visit us. He don't call me. He don't check on me. Oh, it's just a little problem. But what you forgot, hatred comes in small packages. I said, hatred comes in small packages. While hatred bumped up against Cain, Cain just said like hatred wasn't doing nothing. And then before you know it, he jumped off and he started feeling feelings. While Abel was moistened by the stories of daddy, while Abel was moistened by mama telling of a horror that happened in her life. Help me while I preach. I feel the Holy Ghost here, Pastor. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Mama, it's not good. And there's a mother in this building. It's not good for you to tell your daughter on every alley you've been in. I was praying today, and I'm here to warn somebody. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and shook me on my knees and said, there will be an individual in this building. He said, tell them, I said, guard their heart against hatred. It's not good. It's not good. Brother Jeremy, Brother, I believe it's Jason, it's not good for you to know every path that man's been on. Preachers, it's not good for you to tell every church how many times you've been drunk. It's not good for you to tell how many times, how many much money you spent on drinking and smoking, and how many nights you laid out drunk as a dog and couldn't get up the next morning and go to work. I'm talking to you. I said, I'm talking to you. You know what that happens? The longer you feed it, the longer you talk about it, the longer you nurture it, before you know it, you're going to find something wanting to live inside your heart. It's going to pound on the door. It's going to beg. It's going to plead. It's going to beg. Let me back in. Let me back in. At the next time I'm a Hosea, you better get it out. You better pull it out. Young lady, you better not just shout. You better get it out. He hideth hatred with lying lips, and utter slander is a fool. Cain, we're going to have a good family. You hug Abel good night, and y'all go to bed. Notice that? Will you please do that again? Notice that? Can you see the difference? Can you feel the difference? I shook hands with preachers and they stiffened it. Come toward me. And they caught me. Right there, brother. You know what you're telling me? Won't you come no further? I don't care about you, Abel. You stay back. I don't mind you coming around, but you keep a certain distance from me, and there won't be no trouble. sooner or later you just can't go to bed at night with hatred. Sooner or later you're going to get and reach a place where you can't just tuck hatred underneath the covers. It's going to want to sit in the seat of your heart. The Bible said, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now." I know it's tight. But does that mean I could backslide while in the process of church? How much do you love me? When somebody asks, "What do you think about Brother Lloyd?" Do you say, "He's a good man, but..." And you know what, some of you preachers that bother me? We want our church to believe us when we tell them they ain't nobody talk to us. But when we get preached to, we want to believe somebody's talk to the preacher. We want to be sure to shake everybody else's tree. But you leave my tree alone. I won't be sure. I won't tell you. You get that out of your heart. But don't you mess with what my little problem is. I'm going to lose about 3/4 of you here. When in the process of your shouting and of your running, if there is a slight pause that you can return to the nature of living that you have just shouted from, it's a good sign. The rope only got slack and never got loose. I was sitting in my office, was not long ago, and I'm not going to call the preacher's name. I was preparing a sermon for a funeral. He was going to fill in for me that Sunday. I was sitting there and he called a preacher's name that's been called in some junk. It was a close personal friend of mine. He called the preacher's name. He said, "Hey, what's the deal with so-and-so?" I just paused from writing, Brother Randy. I looked up at him. I said, "Did he attend your meeting last week?" He said, "No." And I said, "Oh." And I just kept right on writing. I think he got the message. When your telephone, sir, and preachers, I know I got you on the platform and I didn't get you up here to hurt you. But I got you up here to tell what God said to every one of us. When your telephone carries the news more than the members carry the news, it's a good sign that is a house made of hell and not a house founded upon heaven. The spirit that Cain had is a spirit that loves to rule. But it doesn't rule in honesty. It rules in selfishness. It abides in its will. It lives inside of what it can feed on for itself. It has no room at all for others but self. When you're in church, preacher brethren, whether you're from here or somewhere else, stay with me. Church members, whether you're from here or somewhere else, Vance Havner made a statement one time. He said, in the process of us winning souls for the Lord, he said, if the guy that you was to witness to on the street and you was to compel him to the cross, he then become drenched in Calvary's blood and then become a newborn creature of a heavenly nature. And if he chose not to come to the church where you go, would you still be as happy for him on his journey to heaven? Or will you feel like you have lost because you didn't gain another star in your hat, another notch on your gun? I say, man, anyhow, is it really that we're doing it for heaven, or are we doing it because it benefits Cain? Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And know ye not that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him? When I wrote that scripture, something paused in my spirit, Brother Lord. And I whispered to God. I said, God, they're not going to say that they hate him. I just don't care for him. There's a whole lot of things I don't care for. I'm a man that I don't like okra, and I don't like liver. But I ain't holding up signs to protest it off the market either. When your church starts visiting a neighbor church in revival, how do you react? Are you happy for Abel? Or does Cain get mad? I know I'm stepping out on a limb. I ain't forgot you young folks. But when she's getting married and you're not getting married, how you feel? When he's got a pretty girl and you ain't got no girl. One daddy told a young boy, he goes to my church and I don't want to say nothing mean here. But I'm going to say it flat-footed without any reservations whatsoever. He said he's 22 years old. He needs a girlfriend. I agree. There's something wrong, sir. I say if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. The Bible said the effeminate will not inherit the kingdom of God. It didn't say nothing in that passage about homosexuality. It mentioned it later. So he got up. What? Don't buck me. What's effeminate, preacher? Anything that has girlish like. When your wife, rather you fix her hair instead of her fix her hair. Well, I don't want him touching my hair. You better be glad. He may be combing his hair too. I paused right there and I said, God, they're not going to admit they hate him. They don't like him. They're not going to admit, I don't like Abel. You know what? Don't you stare at me. I got a little bit of time left. I'm trying to hurry. I didn't think it'd get a little high tonight. Because I asked the Lord to bring us out of that shout. Because some of you is going to go home still. Bothered with bitterness. Mark, I said it. You know why? Because anybody. Can shout above it. But getting down and getting it out. It's going to be a whole different story. You know what hatred says? Hatred says, I love him, but I can only love him at a distance. Hatred says, there's no beef between me and him. We just don't see things eye to eye. Hatred says, I like that church, but I'd just rather you not go there. That's a good preacher, but that church has got problems. Show me one church that ain't. Maybe I've lost it. Heaven must run by your street. But for us where I'm at, I'm fighting the devil every day to keep him out.
I find bitterness in that church. I'm telling my young people, you can shout all you like, but when you hit the ground, you better love your neighbor as yourself. If any man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. And he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?
When men hate, there's never more attribute of hell that makes that man more like the devil than it is when he hates his brother. Fosnick said one time, he said, hating people is like burning down your own house to get rid of a rat. George William Russell said, we may fight against what is wrong, but if we allow ourselves to hate, that is to ensure our spiritual defeat and our likeness to become what we hate. Years ago, I read a story, and I'm getting close to being done. I read a story where this big monument was set up in a city. Everybody was mad because, see, that monument was of a tyrant, of a dictator. When that dictator died, the town gathered out with little stones, and they were going to be sure that they bust down that monument. The story went on to tell, it said, while every man was casting stones at the monument, every man held in his little hand a replica, a small replica of the same monument. What I'm trying to kill in you oftentimes becomes the result of the bitterness that's in me. I want to preach to you. I don't want to preach to your emotions. I want to preach to you. You can't hate and go to heaven. I don't care if you are a young girl. The one you're sitting next to, you cannot hate them and go to heaven. Say, I don't hate them, we just don't get along. What makes you not get along? I know it's going to hurt, but it ain't a higher form other than an outright blasphemy than it is to hate your neighbor and shout as though you have no hatred in your heart. Preacher brethren, I ask you to come here because I believe we as men of God are the light of the church through the light of the gospel that burns within us. Are you hearing me? But if that light in the pulpit be darkened by hatred, how greater the darkness is it in that church? Wake up. It ain't going to hurt you. Sure, I wanted to preach something that put us right up here. But I can't get this off me. That you're sitting next to, are you going to go to heaven with it? Or is one of you going to be left here and the other one's going to heaven while you go to hell? What is it when two of you get together that you find out what you don't like about the other one? What is it, preachers, when we get together we find out what we don't like about this one and then don't like about that one? Sure, there's attributes. Not everybody likes me. I don't know why. My wife loves me to death. I don't understand why everybody don't like me. But then when I remember this one little statement, in no one else in all the history of the world do you find any more abiding hatred of an immoral hatred except against our Lord? The hatred against Christ has never been weakened, even for the past 20th centuries. Because He is still an obstacle to sin, to selfishness, to godlessness, and to the spirit of the world. That's why they still hate Him. John said, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, who slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. We shall either be our brother's keeper, or we shall be our brother's murderer. If we do not labor to save others, we shall be guilty of the blood of our brother. Won't you stand with me? I don't want nobody to leave. Won't you give me my sword? I ask for this tonight. Ain't a man in this building. This ain't a toy. This is real. You hear that? It's real. Ain't a man in this building. There ain't a person in this house has got the guts to come get this out of my hand and run over to a brother on this platform and run it through him. You got the guts to do it. You hear me? See it? I was in prayer today and the Lord said, they won't slay each other with the physical, but they'll slay each other with the tongue. And He said they fail to realize I judge them both just alike. Young girl, that girl that you hate, here. You want to kill her? Sister, that other sister in your church that you don't like, here, you want to kill her? Sir, that preacher you hate, would you like to kill him? Preacher's a little crazy tonight, ain't he? The Bible said, he that hideth hatred with lying lips and other slander is a fool. You know why it's so quiet in here? Because the mask has been pulled off. You either love me or you hate me. Brother John, will you help me preach? Come here. You either love me or you hate me. No toy, is it?
No, sir.
It's no game, boss. You ever seen a generation where hatred is starting so little? I won't get to reality here. I know I'm preaching different than I preached last year. But you ever seen a day when seven-year-olds are going in their daddy's house, getting their gun, and shooting mama and daddy? Huh? You ever seen a day when 11-year-olds, how many school teachers we got in here? You ever seen a day when 11-year-olds are getting their daddy's car, getting their daddy's gun, shooting mom and daddy, and going into the school and walking straight in there? And you know what they're doing? They're blowing the teacher apart, killing other little children. And then not only is the devil happy with that, he turns the gun on them and kills them. Where did it come from, preacher? When Cain hates Abel, he can't see nothing but revenge. He don't care how deep the blood has got to run. He don't care how deep the wound is. He don't care whether he ever says sorry or not. He just got one thing in mind, and that's, I'm killing you, Abel. There's young girls in this building. The Holy Ghost, stand by me. I'm going to come right back to you, Brother John. The Holy Ghost spoke to me this morning while I was standing here. I know you're going to hate me. And they were shouting and running and praying for each other. And as I watched them as they prayed for each other, Brother Lord, I looked over there and the Lord spoke to me and said, they're laying hands on each other. But outside the doors of this building, they have no use for each other. How can I heal you if I don't love you? I know it's tight. I know I'm preaching a little different than what you like. Why are we so handicapped at winning the lost? I'll tell you why. They can feel such dissension. They don't know what church to go to because we all look alike, but we all don't act alike. I know I'm going to get in trouble and you're going to hate me. But Acts said they had all things coming. You saw one brother, they all believed the same thing. You saw another brother, they all shared the same gospel. But now we go to have a meeting. Step up here with me, you don't mind. Before I can really let him preach for me, I've got to frisk him down. Make sure he ain't come to kill me. I want to make sure that's Abel in the pulpit instead of Cain. I know it's tight. You've went off and made the statement, and I'm not even from your area. And the Holy Ghost stand by me when he say it. You're in this building. I can come to you. You've even had enough brass to say Brother Noah preaches what he's told. But if I walk back there and call your name, and God opens it up in front of everybody, what are you to say then? Church can't be healed. We're healed. Don't you realize that, sir? We're the first family. We're from where the family starts. Preacher's wife, I know I got you on your feet, but that sister in the church is only going to be what you are. Mama, that daughter's only going to like the preacher that you say is holy. And the preacher may be holy and you just not like him because he don't preach what you like. I'm through preaching here. I got some more I was going to say, but I'm going to close with this one verse of scripture that involves this sword. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. That brother will begin to play very softly. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went out unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Joshua got so mesmerized by the battle he was in. He saw that man over there with his sword drawn. He said, I don't know if he's for us. I don't even know if he's against us. We're in a cold day, church, when we can't tell the difference between Cain and Abel. Help me preach. So he runs up there and he looks at him. He said, are you for us? Or are you for against us? You know what he looks at him and he says? He said, this is an angel of the Lord. He's come to fight for me. Can I act out what I feel? Can I act out what I feel? I believe about that time, that angel kind of put his hand on him and said, get behind me. This battle's not yours. But I'm going to fight this battle. I'm going to carry you through this one. It's going to be the sword of the Lord and of Gideon that's going to win this battle. I tell you, I was on my knees praying today. And Brother Bailey, the Holy Ghost told me to give this to you. He said, be not afraid of their faces. Be not dismayed at the word. For not only have I put a sword in thy hand, but I have put the sword of the Lord in thy hand. Hallelujah. And when they gave out that shout, and Gideon was going against them, they looked up and said, is this not the sword of the Lord and of Gideon? Where are you? Are you Abel tonight? Or are you Cain? I love to preach. It's my life. I know nothing. I've been preaching since I've been 15. 23 years. 24 years almost. I don't know nothing else. I love it. I love to preach when I see the power of God like it was on the last night of the meeting last year. Midnight. An escape at midnight. And the Holy Ghost fall on this altar. But the battle's just got a little bit hotter since last year. And some of you fell out with us a little more since last year. In my last statement, God, help me that if I should carry a sword, let it be a sword for mine adversary and not for my brother. If I do anything, let me bend it, that bitterness, until I let it go. Oh. I'm carrying a different burden this year than what I've carried. I'm afraid that if we're not careful, preacher brethren, does anybody know where the devil entered into Judas at? Right at the table where the Lord was sitting. Say it louder.
Right in the presence.
He was sitting at the table when the devil entered into him and took him out. You know what that's telling me? You could stand right here in this building tonight and look at this little fat preacher preach, knowing inside of you there's a locked up bitterness. There's a locked up hatred. And a little portion of tongues will soothe it over for a little while. But that beast comes right back out. But how would you like to get rid of it and be gone of it forever? You say, "Preacher, I've seen so much out of the church, I don't want to get saved. I've seen so much out of people, I don't want to get right. What's the sense of me going to church when there's problems everywhere?" Well, unless you didn't notice it, unless it's been 24 years ago since I sat on a bar stool. Last time I was there, it was a broken up home man sitting next to me. Last time I was there, it was a woman cheating on her husband. Come on here. So point your fingers and say, "We got problems." And I won't argue. But I will tell you, we got a remedy for the problem. We got a remedy for the trouble. And that remedy is Jesus Christ. You ever get Him in your heart, you won't find no room for hatred. Help me in this last closing. When hatred knocks back on that door and you got Jesus in the heart, you know what happens? I'll tell you what it does. He said, "Hatred, you get on out of here. You leave them alone. They don't belong to you no more." I want to close. But anybody ever went through a battle with bitterness and it got a hold of you and you laid in the bed at night? I don't know, I feel the Holy Ghost here. You laid in the bed at night and it felt like you could feel the sword as it laid so close by you. And the devil said, "Take it. Kill them. Get it over with. Slay their ministry. Slay their life. Ruin that home. Look at the trouble they caused you. Look at me, church." But then something comes in the room, throws away the sword, and comes by, lays his hand on your troubled mind, and says, "Forget it. I'll wipe it out." That's what happened to Joshua. He couldn't tell the difference between that man and an enemy. But after the angel spoke, "He's for me. He's for me. He's not here to kill me. He's for me." I wish I could preach better. But you ever felt so cold as you feel now? "Preach, I shouted this morning. Good. But what are you going to act like next week?" Are you going to tell the devil no? Or when you go back to your church, after you shouted this week, are you going to sit right back down in your same seat of bitterness? Hatred. "They don't love me. I don't love them." Telling you, if I die tonight, I know I'm preaching what God told me. God wants to carry you a little deeper than just feel good about what you felt. He wants to rid you of the darkness to where you won't be tormented by it no more. Are you hearing me? You're looking at a man, you say, "Preacher, you've lost your mind," when you got a song. I know what it's like to hate. I know what it's like to want to taste murder. A man, one night at the hospital, her stepbrother cursed my wife for everything that she was worth. You hear me? It was her stepbrother. I don't know if any of y'all know here, know Brother Billy Joe Watson. He was there at the hospital. Her stepdaddy was laying up there with a heart attack. They was going to do open heart surgery on him the next morning. I run him out of the house because they were in his house drinking. I told him, get out. He didn't allow it. He wasn't going to have it. They called my wife's mother a bad name. And all my wife said was, don't talk to her like that. And he ran down that hallway at my wife, sister. Some of the most vile curse words. I felt Noah get up inside of me. I'm not going to lie. I could feel myself wanting to rip his head off. I said, preacher, you're crazy. You ain't in love then. Something rose up inside of me. I wanted to show him what he wasn't going to do. But about that time, that old preacher standing over there against the wall, I didn't even know he was there. He grabbed my arm. He said, Brother Noah, it ain't worth it. And he backed me up. I'm sorry. And if I've let you down when I'm saying it, but you know what he did? He took the sword out of my hand. He said, don't do it. Oh, I wished I could take the sword out of your hand. Young girl, you're looking the past of holiness, but I really wish I could get the sword out of your hand. Brother, we're all on this platform together. But I wish I could get the sword. Regardless what they've said to you and regardless what they've done to you, I wish I could get the sword out of your hand. Brother Carl, I prayed for you last night. I didn't know when I'd get to tell you. I didn't feel the liberty of the Holy Ghost right there to say it. But the Holy Ghost said to tell you, be sweet in your soul. Regardless what has been thrown, be sweet. And Abel shall live. If I lie, you hear me? You've made this statement. I've been trying harder, more now than I have ever tried in my life. I feel like some promises are closer to me now than I've ever felt in my entire life. They're closer to me. And I don't want to lose it. You hear me? But God said, stay sweet. Stay sweet. And God will visit when Abel may be dead. But God is going to come by and visit Cain. Don't get bitter in the battle. Don't do it. Give me that sword. I'm going to obey the Holy Ghost right here. I know you're not gunning for nobody. But there's been sometimes the devil. He said, hold it, Carl. Say it. No. Can you say it?
No.
I'm not going to let it happen.
No. Help me, God.
Why? Why aren't you going to let it happen? Because I got children. I don't want them to see the wrath of the sword. Preacher man, I know it's different. But I don't want my children to see what the sword can do. I want them to see what Calvary can produce. I want them to see what the blood can bring out. Preacher, you say your ministry's dying. Dip it in the blood and get the sword out of your hand. When you get the sword out of your hand, men can't help but to feel that gushing river of the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away the sins of men. You know what? She gets ready to sing. This is going to be the hardest part of the preaching. This is going to be the hardest part of the entire service. Who's going to walk up here? And be honest and say, "Preacher, I've been in some bitter battles. And this has been offered to me by the devil. But I don't want it. This has been offered to me. It's a good man in the altar. Did you hear me? It's a good man in that altar. You know what I'm bothered with? I got little children here who don't even know nothing about the sword. They're stepping out. Some of you are just standing there looking at me. And you know what it's feeling like to grab the edge of that sword. I want to love my neighbor. Anybody know what that second commandment is? Love thy neighbor as thyself. No, we're not shouting. But I come to rid the sword out of your hand. That's what the Spirit says. Sing, brother.